You said already we are passionate. I think passion is a prerequisite for being an educator. I don't think I know a single educator that's not passionate.
Right.
Because we wouldn't be here if we weren't. We have so much to offer. We have so much creativity collectively. And so much experience. We know what these kids need because we spend every single day with them. And I hope that people are starting to realize that that our voices are true, and we only have the best intentions and ideas that we're trying to make the world a better place.
Absolutely.
And we just want to be trusted.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Brighter Together podcast. My name is Janet Courtney, and my special guest today is Erin Smith. Erin is the Director of Elementary Education at Socrates Preparatory School, and that is in Castleberry, Florida. Erin, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
First, start off, tell everybody about your role and a little bit about Socrates Prep.
Okay. Well, to start with my role, I'm the director of the elementary program here at Socrates Prep, which means that I oversee grades 1 through 5. That role I started last year. Before that, I was the middle school math and science teacher, and I also taught a bunch of middle school and high school electives classes. So last year, I took over the elementary program, and it's a cool program. I love it. It's, like I said, it's all of the 1st through 5th graders. They're together in one building, and that affords us this really unique opportunity to be able to mix them up and place them where we need to place them. And I'm sure we'll get into more of that later. Mm-hmm. Our school is 1st grade through 12th grade. We're a private school here in Florida that affords us more flexibility to meet our kids where they need, which is a really, really foundational part of our structure and our whole being here.
So you guys start at first grade, so you don't have like pre-K or kindergarten programs at all. It starts at first grade.
We haven't yet. We haven't had okay. anybody need it.
So I'll catch it.
Really okay. grown over the last 13 years. And we went from just a few kids basically around a kitchen table to a whole school. And we have almost 80 kids now. I could be wrong on that number, but and that's ranging from 1st grade through 12th grade right now. So
wow. So do you have kids, do you have teachers that cross grades then as well, like that teach more than one grade?
So all of our teachers teach multiple subjects.
There you go. Okay.
Multiple grades. So like when I was in the middle school, basically department or whatever have you, like I said, I taught middle school math and science. That meant 6th, 7th, and 8th grade math and science. And then the elective classes were mixed, high school and middle school. So I would have students from 6th to 12th grade in those classes.
Wow. That's a big range. That's a big range. And how did that work for you? I mean, what was it like to teach? Because I just find middle schoolers to be so much different than high school kids. So I can imagine the dynamic must have been really fascinating, actually, I think. So
every single system is going to have benefits and challenges, right?
Oh, of course. Right. Yeah.
And our system is no different. The benefit is that kids are not put into any kind of grade or age-related box. And so we have kids in high school who are kids who are friends with kids in elementary school.
Ah, gotcha. Okay.
Mm-hmm. And vice versa, and all across the range. And sometimes in those elective classes, there was a difference of maturity. Mm-hmm. But sometimes that difference of maturity afforded a lot more lessons than we could ever mm-hmm. teach in a traditional classroom.
Real
like
world.
How to have
right.
empathy for other needs, or how mm-hmm. to... how to work with people of varying backgrounds or skill levels. So,
I think there are challenges,
of course, but
yeah.
I think there are also special things that they wouldn't get anywhere else.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's one of the things that I love about schools like this is that you don't have to, I mean, you can, and please don't think I hope you didn't think I was being critical, because that wasn't my intent at all. I think it's fascinating, and I think it's great. I mean, I think when you have children that learn how to interact with little kids and older kids and children that are, you know, it's like, and nothing against only children and nothing against public schools that have grade levels. It's just really, they're not exposed necessarily as much to all of those nuances. And inclusion schools as well have a different perspective. Every child is going to get some of it somewhere. So let's tell everybody about your structure and how you guys are handling the diversity that you seem to have at this school. I would love to hear about it so people kind of understand that.
Well, I mean, I guess I'll introduce you first to the kind of diversity that we have.
Sure.
We really are an extremely diverse school. We talk a lot about needs and being needs-based or personalized learning and things like, you know, education-y words like that. And the kinds of needs that we have is all across a huge spectrum. I mean, we have students on the spectrum. We have lots of neurodivergent learners, students with ADHD or, you know, various different diagnoses. But we also have students that come from backgrounds of needing a smaller class size or more personalized learning or being able to pursue their own passion projects. We have students that we actually have one student right now who is working on his athletics career. So he needs to be able to have a little bit more flexibility in his learning journey.
Okay.
Yeah. So every single student that comes to us has some kind of need, just not usually the types of needs that someone would think of when you think of needs-based learning. So really, we work really hard at personalized learning paths for our students. And we look at, of course, the kinds of standards and things that they need to graduate, but we also look at what kinds of things they need. I think a really, really, really good way of showcasing this is, I think it was maybe my second or third year with us. I think it was actually my second year. We were in summer planning and we thought, oh my gosh, these kids, they need social skills. They need those skills that you don't normally learn in school, like reading, writing, arithmetic, you know, your typicals. They need these 21st century skills. And here we're doing all this research and realizing these companies are looking for kids who are graduates who can collaborate better and communicate better and work with a team and actually build relationships with people and all of these 21st century soft skills, so they're called. So we do all this research and we start building this program when we call it Student Success. And we built that into our entire curriculum from first grade to 12th grade. They every single year have some kind of class related to this student success, 21st century soft skills type of curriculum, where we teach them how to be resilient.
Awesome.
How to problem solve. All these things that, you know, everybody, when we graduate, we say, oh my gosh, I wish somebody would have taught me how to balance a checkbook or how to change my tire or, you know, all these things that you just don't get in school. And we focus a portion of our curriculum on making sure that they get at least a taste of some of that and how to do it.
Nice.
I mean, we do summer planning here, which is what I was saying I'm in right now.
Gotcha.
And everybody's in the meeting and I get
to So you know, this is because this doesn't come out the day that it's recorded. It is June 6th, 2025. So we're at the end of the school year, the beginning of the summer. By the time this comes out, it will probably be closer to the beginning of the school year, you know, in a couple of months. We're about six, seven weeks behind. So just so people know, I always try to say that when people refer to what's happening in their world during the day. No, it's totally fine. It's a good thing. It's exciting to be able to look and see. And when you'll be able to, when the podcast is produced and are made public, then you'll go, oh, look, that's where I was. Here's where I am. Isn't that exciting?
Nice.
And then you can say, you know, when you guys use it for your, because one of the things that Brighter Together does for those of you that are listening right now is this is our podcast, but we share it with every single one of our guests, right? So anything that Erin does, we give her all of the video, we give her all of the audio, and I'm plugging Brighter Together right now, but But it's specifically about giving back to the community as well. Yes, Lighthouse is the producer of the show, and we use it, but we also allow our guests to use it as well. So, and I think that makes a podcast maybe a little bit different than some of the others that are out there. I don't know. So
that's so incredible.
I mean, you were telling me about how you guys are just doing this to change the mentality or the mental space around education, and that's just another example of us. That's amazing. Thank you.
You're welcome. You're welcome. I'm proud and grateful that we can, you know. So anyway, but you guys are doing amazing things too, right? You are helping kids that probably couldn't function in a typical brick and mortar K-12 public school, right? I mean, that's kind of what you're talking about, and getting an education that when you talk about an individualized education for IEPs, that's really, gosh, you guys are kind of tailoring the whole thing to them, right?
Thank you. I do want to be clear. It's not necessarily that they couldn't function in a typical public school classroom. It's that they excel here.
Gotcha.
And they get the chance to grow into their most potential.
Mm-hmm.
Or at least we try to build a zone or a space for them so that they have the opportunities and the learning space to expand into their full selves. Mm-hmm. Rather than, you know, being put into boxes or being, and I'm not necessarily, I grew up in public school. I'm not saying that it's a horrible place to be. I'm just
No, we would, none of us believe that. Yeah.
There are more opportunities or a place to be able to become ourselves a little bit easier.
Yeah. And you know, I've interviewed, you are 67, number 67 for these interviews. And I have interviewed so many K-12 leaders, and there are so many people out there in all walks of education that are doing amazing things and get it. And there is definitely a trend in education that I'm seeing about the learner. And all of these people that we're interviewing are people that love the kids. I mean, everybody's like, I do this because it's about the children. It's about making sure, I mean, we're working on training up the next generation, and you guys are doing the same thing. It's just everybody has their I'm a Christian, so you know what God has put in front of them, so to speak, you know, where you're supposed to be and what you're supposed to be doing. So whether they believe in God or not, that's not the point, but you know, everybody's where they're supposed to be. They're doing things, and we're doing things because the kids need us, I guess, is what I want to say. So
yeah,
that's awesome. So tell me, what are some of the challenges that you guys face?
Well, I mean, like I said before, with all of our fantastic opportunities that being a mixed school or striving for personalized learning or mixing everybody up afford us, it also affords us challenges. Yeah. For instance, having different levels of maturity in the same classroom. Can be really great, and it can also be really challenging.
Right.
We spend a lot of time, like I was saying, we're in summer planning right now, and we do summer planning so that we can prepare, spend the entire summer thinking, oh, how am I going to do this? How am I going to change this thing up? How am I going to make it better?
Make it better.
How am I going to get more engagement, you know? And one of those things is, how am I going to make it more personalized? What are these things that I can do? What are these PDs that I can do? What are these different skills or things that I can gain or try or so it's the challenge, I would say, is our flexibility.
Mm-hmm.
in that we don't have everything handed down to us in this neat little packet that we just follow. We spend a lot of time very much exercising our creativity, and we're constantly adapting and constantly observing our students and changing based on their needs and their interests and their wants, because their interests and their wants are important too.
Right.
It's just about us imparting information to them or imparting knowledge to them, like we're some owners of it. This is more about, like, how do we help them grow into the person that they're going to be?
Yeah. Yeah. Help them to learn how to learn, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And to have that innate curiosity. That's something that, you know, everybody wants for their kids. You know, you learn how to read in the littles, you know, you got to learn how to read and understand the rules of society and all of those things. But then there's this curiosity that kids have. And, and fostering that and making it so that they can explore those exciting. It's definitely going to be a challenge, but that must be a great challenge because, you know, I don't think you have a dull day. I bet you don't have a dull day at work.
I do not have a dull day. But you bring up curiosity, and that's actually been a question that's spinning around in my head a lot for the last several years, is what's happening to curiosity? Where's it going? Mm-hmm. And I do find that in this day and age, it's disappearing fast. And it was part of the reason that I wanted to come into the elementary program to see if I could figure out where it was going and how to better foster it so that it's not lost before middle school.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Do you find
that's a big question that we should all be asking?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. And one of the things that I've seen, and I've asked this question many times, how do you find technology and social media? I mean, do you think that there's a piece of that that is taking away some of that? Do you think that's a piece of it that's taking away that curiosity? I mean, I know it can obviously be a great tool as well, but it's such a balancing act, I think.
In my opinion, I think everything is a balancing act.
Yeah, well, true.
And I think every single tool we get is one that needs to be met with thought and consideration and responsibility. I am a huge proponent of technology in the classroom. You can ask any one of my co-teachers that, like, technology is probably one of my top things that I integrate into a classroom. I even coming down here to the elementary program, one of my first things was, how do I get these kids proficient with computers? Because this is their future.
Oh yeah, it's not going away, right?
We know. Yeah, yeah, that is the end all be all of it. No matter what we think or what we believe or what we want or what we don't want, technology is our future. And yeah, we have to figure out how to work with it instead of being either afraid of it or trying to control it, or, you know, like, we have to learn how to work with it.
So, and yeah, that's the point, right? That's the material point right there, is learning how to work with it. Yeah. You cannot just cut it out. You cannot say no more, just no more, you know, but you can teach a child. And I think it's great for boundaries too, like, you know, establishing boundaries for kids and self-control. I mean, there's a lot of self-controls to say, I'm not going to look at that thing right now, or I'm going to use AI to better whatever it is that I'm doing, not just to give me the answer, but to help me to understand what it is I'm studying, so that, because it can dig a whole lot deeper, a whole lot faster than we can, which is amazing. You know, it's like, I've barely scratched the surface when it comes to AI, but we're using it. We use it in Lighthouse. My husband has written scripts to help. He's super smart. I'm blessed beyond measure when it comes to him. He's our CTO, and we're a family business, but he actually made it so that our billing and our payroll, I mean, it processes it in 10 seconds. It's crazy how fast. Yeah. But, you know, it took him several weeks of having AI help him write this script. I can't even tell you. And someone else is going, oh, I know exactly what she's talking about. I don't know. I'm not that person. But, you know, and we are a technology company. Lighthouse has been an online company for the last 7 years. So, you know, it's like, it's not going away. Online's not going away. Therapy's not going away. The need for technology is not going away. I graduated from college in 94, and the internet was just a thing that was just being talked about 31 years ago. You know, that's how fast we have gone from barely even, I thought my husband was cool because he had a bag phone. 30 years later, we're, you know, we have little computers on our hands, you know.
And yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, kids don't know the world without technology, and it's not going away for sure. Yeah.
We have to be in our classrooms mindful that we are teaching within the future of education. The future of education is not next year or 10 years from now or 15 or 50. It is today. We are in the future of education, and we have to remember that. When I was going to school, I was definitely one of the kids that heard, you're not going to have a calculator in your pocket. And now, not only do we have the calculator in our pocket, we have the entire world of information in our pocket.
Oh, yeah.
So how do we use that? What does that mean? And so this conversation, which I think it needs to be a conversation around AI of, oh, well, why are we having our kids write, let the AI write our papers? What's that doing to our classrooms? What's it doing when AI can constantly give us the answer? We've been dealing with Siri giving us the answer for the last 10 years or more.
Or Google. Yeah, whatever. Yeah, take your pick. Yeah.
So what does that do to us? And that's a question we need to be asking. Mm-hmm. But it needs to be a question that we're exploring and discussing and not a question of, oh, how do we shut it down?
Right.
It's how do we teach our kids to use their resources and use these things as tools and not be afraid of them and not be ruled by them either.
Mm-hmm. And that's exactly it. It's the using the tools to your best advantage and have it be something that enhances what you do and not something that you run away from screaming. And I think that there's, when you talk about my generation, you know, cause I was born in the late 60s, I'm 57 years old, you know, it's like, I'm in the last, probably the last decade of my career, although my kids and my husband say I'm never going to retire, but because I love what I do. It's not work for me. I'm not working. I mean, this podcast and my role as a CEO, it never, you know, it's never boring. And I'm so mission driven that it is just fun. I never go, oh my gosh, I have to go into the office. And my office is in my house. So, you know, it's like, you gotta love what you do in order to be a business owner, entrepreneur. I guess they call me an entrepreneur. I don't know. I just did what God asked me to do, honestly. But you know, it's none of that would be possible if it wasn't for technology and my own desire to continue to learn. And I think that that our generation, it's tough because, you know, we didn't grow up with computers at all. You know, the computers weren't even a thing. I mean, we were the remote for the TV. Go change the channel, you know, and the channel was four, you know, and wall phones and just, you know, so many. We as this generation, those of us that are in our 50s and 60s do not, you know, haven't grown up with it. Haven't, you know, we've been dragged along with it. But I mean, it's just an interesting. I've seen so many times in my career with online, you know, that the child comes to get on and there's a technical issue, right? And we have live tech support. So there's, you know, the mom can call or the therapist can call. And it's the child who's fixing the issue, right? Because they are so tech savvy and they understand it innately. It's just something that, you know, me, I have to go, okay, tell me. And I'm not a manual person. I'm not a reader. I'm an experiential learner. So I totally love what you guys are doing. So my husband laughs at me because if something comes with a manual, I'm like, here you go. Because I'm not going to read it because I don't learn that way. Right. Mm-hmm. So he can do it. But it's just fascinating to, so if, you know, if you're an older person in, like me, in education, there is a need for us to continue to be curious and to continue to embrace the technology because it again is not going away. And I'm getting on my soapbox, so I'll stop.
That's okay. I was on my soapbox a minute ago, so you're hurting.
Yeah, there you go. It is a good thing to have passions. You and I both have very strong passions about what we're doing, and that is the beautiful thing about education is that we are making changes that are changing the world for the better for the next generation. So what other things would you like for people out there to know that we maybe have not covered yet, Erin?
Oh my gosh. That's like picking stars out of the sky.
Well, pick one. Just pick one. Usually I say my usual question, and I wasn't even going to ask you it, but I'll ask that question. Okay, here's a question of if you could miraculously fix one thing, and it can't be money. It cannot be money because everybody needs more money in their schools. We know that. If you could miraculously fix one thing in your job and have it not be a problem anymore, what would that one thing be? Because that's pretty much probably where your passion is as well. What would it be?
I'm gonna pick one.
Okay. You don't have to pick them all, just one.
I'm just gonna pick one. Yep. I think it's actually revolves a lot around what you're doing with this podcast is I think we need a better understanding that educators are doing their best, mm-hmm. That educators need more support, mm-hmm. and that educators need to be trusted more.
Amen.
We are.
Wow, that's a great one.
Tails off. You've said already. We are passionate. I think passion is a prerequisite for being an educator. But I don't think I know a single educator that's not passionate.
Right.
Because we wouldn't be here if we weren't.
Yeah.
We have so much to offer. We have so much creativity collectively, and so much experience. And we know what these kids need because we spend every single day with them. Mm-hmm. And I hope that people are starting to realize that that our voices are true, and we only have the best intentions and ideas that we're trying to make the world a better place.
Absolutely.
And we just want to be trusted.
Yeah. Yeah. And not bashed around every time we turn on the television or every time some Joe Schmo wants to tell us how to do our jobs, right? Yeah, I think that's such a great point. Yeah, if we could get that one miraculous thing fixed, boy, imagine
a different world.
But we're doing it anyway. We're doing it, you know, and that's the thing that is so incredible. Yeah, that's the best part, right? We're still doing it.
Accomplishing a lot. Imagine we accomplish if we had that too.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the question. That's exactly the question that I asked. So thank you for answering it, because it is such a need. It is such a need. And it is what Brighter Together is about. So, okay. So where do people come to learn more about your school or Aaron Smith?
Well, we have a website. It's socprep.org. So socprep.org. And pretty much everything you need to learn about our school is right there on that website.
Awesome. Awesome. Yeah. And that was something, again, didn't have websites in the early 90s. Thank you so much, Aaron. This has been a great conversation. You know, I'm just so pleased that you chose to join us on Brighter Together. So thanks for being here.
Thank you so much for having me. This has been really fun.
Awesome.